1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12 through to verse 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for what we've just been singing of, that he paid it all, that he washed our sin away if we're trusting in him. Help us to be full of gratitude, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that in response we will be those who respond rightly to your word. Help us now as we come to it to respond rightly to it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what your expectations are for the Christian life. As you, assuming that you intend to keep going as a Christian, how do you imagine things will work out for you? How comfortable do you think life will be for you? How popular and well-liked and respected do you think you'll be as a follower of Jesus? Well, my guess is that many of us have really quite positive expectations. For those of us who've grown up in the UK, we've grown up in a place where to be a Christian is largely something that's been respected and appreciated. For the last number of centuries, Christianity has been respected. Christians have been thought of here as good, decent people by and large. And I think because of that history, some of us have actually bought into a twisted version of the gospel, what someone has called the popularity gospel. The idea that if we trust God, then he will ensure that we'll be well liked and popular and respected. But rather than having our expectations shaped by our country's history, we've got to have our expectations shaped by God's word. And verse 12 in our passage this morning is just one of those key Bible verses to shape our expectations for what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Absolutely key. Let me read verse 12. Verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. In terms of our expectations, Peter says, look, the fiery ordeal, suffering because of the gospel, being insulted and shamed because you're a Christian, is normal. It's normal. And that is the word that we've just got to associate with suffering for Jesus. It is normal. It is par for the course. It's part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian. It is to be expected. If it happened to Jesus and we follow in his footsteps, it's going to happen to us. It is normal. And so Peter says, don't be surprised when it happens. Don't think something really strange is happening. It is to be expected. Now, that doesn't mean that suffering for Jesus, these fiery ordeals, these insults, are waiting for us around every last corner. Actually, some people will love us because we're Christians. If we tell someone the gospel and they believe the gospel, they will love us for all eternity. We can be sure of that. And other folk, we'll tell them the gospel and they don't believe, but they will appreciate some of the way that the gospel has changed us. Perhaps if it's changed us and made us generous or given us an integrity, they will see that in us and they will appreciate that, some folk. So it's not, suffering for the gospel isn't necessarily to be expected around every last corner. But, Peter says, if we're faithful to Jesus, then over the course of our lives, it will certainly hit. It is inevitable. So maybe this coming year in your current job, things will be relatively peaceful for you. But it could be that next year things change and you get shamed because you're a Christian. In any case, and when we get to the end of our lives and look back, we will see periods and moments of being shamed and insulted and opposed because we're Christians. Peter says it is normal. And I think I've said this in previous weeks, but it's worth just saying again, that is just the case even when we are, even if you are a nice, careful, winsome, respectful person. I was speaking to the most lovely Christian couple recently who were all of those things, really respectful and loving and kind. They were telling me about how someone very close to them had slandered them on social media because of something to do with their faith. Peter says it is normal. Being loving and kind won't make us immune. So don't be surprised as though something strange were happening. Suffering for Jesus is normal. Which means that as we look on our history, if we've grown up in the UK, our history in that sense is really quite abnormal. Really, what Christians across the world face, and the suffering in other countries, in reality, that is much more typical. Suffering for Jesus is normal. And it's so important that we expect this, because if we don't expect it, well, when it comes, we'll be so unsettled by it that we may well give up. A number of years back, I had surgery on my knee. I'd tore my ACL, my anterior cruciate ligament, and had surgery on it. Anyway, I was sent home at the end of the surgery with exercises to do to strengthen my knee. The only problem was that when I did the exercises, it hurt. And it really unsettled me. And I thought to myself, this isn't right. This is strange. This shouldn't be happening. Why is this happening? I must be doing something wrong. And so I stopped with the exercises. Of course, I went to the physio. The physio, I shared all this with the physio. She reassured me. She said, no. Pain, in this sense, it is to be expected. It is normal. It is par for the course. It is part of the healing process. So don't worry. Don't be unsettled by it. Don't give up on the exercises. And of course, without reassurance, I was able to keep going with the exercises. And likewise, with the Christian life, if we don't expect opposition, well, when it comes, we'll be really unsettled by it. We'll think, why is this happening? This shouldn't be happening. Have I done something wrong? I'd better stop. So if we're going to keep going as believers our whole lives, we've got to expect to suffer for Jesus so that when it comes, we're not blindsided by it and tempted to give up. So Peter says, expect it. Expect to suffer for Jesus. Expect the fiery trial and insults. But Peter has more to say to us than just this. You see, we may get our expectations right and expect to suffer for Jesus in this life, but at the same time, we might be really frightened by that prospect. As we think about the rest of our lives, knowing what inevitably will be part of that, we might be filled with worry and dread. And of course, in one sense, that's completely understandable, because pain and suffering in and of themselves are not good things. Facing insults is not nice. Being ostracized or losing your job because of your faith will not be a pleasant thing. In and of themselves, they're not good. You know, in God's very good garden, right at the beginning, there wasn't this type of thing. In God's new creation, right at the end, there won't be any of this. In and of themselves, they're not good things. Nevertheless, Peter says, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, you can rejoice. And that's our second word. If our first word was expect it, expect to suffer for Christ, our second word is you can rejoice in it. So if you're currently suffering for Christ, Peter says you can rejoice. Or if you're not currently suffering for Christ, but you've got right expectations for this life, you don't need to dread it. Why not? Well, because suffering for Christ, Peter says, carries with it enormous blessings and privileges. And we're going to look at three of them. First off, the experience of suffering for Christ brings with it reassurance that we're on the road to glory. Have a look again at verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. I want you to picture a road. It's dimly lit and dangerous. There's a sound of angry dogs barking. Hostile people open their windows and shout out insults at those who walk along the road. Some people take that even further and come out with sticks to oppose those walking along it. But this road leads to the most amazing destination that you could ever imagine. It leads to a palace and a crown and to great honor. It is the road to glory. And that's the road that Christ walked, as he was nailed to a cross as a criminal, but which took him to glory. And for us, 2,000 years later, when we find ourselves walking up that difficult, arduous road and facing insult and trial, Peter says, open your eyes and recognize where you are. You're on the road to glory. The road you're walking up is the road that Christ walked. And just as it led him to glory, so it will lead you to glory too. You're on the right road. You can be reassured. And so as we participate in the sufferings of Christ and walk up that road, Peter says you can even rejoice. Not because you like the pain, but because you know for sure that this is the road to glory. This will lead you to share in the joy and glory when Christ comes back. The experience of suffering for Christ brings with it reassurance that we are indeed on the road to glory. But then secondly, verse 14, the experience of suffering for Christ brings with it the blessing of God's presence. So verse 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Peter says that God will be with us in the same way that he was with Jesus through his life, so he will be with us. Isaiah chapter 11 is one of those passages that we read out at Christmas time as Isaiah predicts the coming of the Lord Jesus. It says this, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And here, Peter picks up that language that speaks about the Lord Jesus and applies it to the believer who is suffering for him. It says, the Spirit of glory in God that rested on Jesus rests on you. Just as God was with Jesus through his life, so he is with us as we suffer for him. Now, in that experience of being insulted for Jesus, we may or may not have a sense of that presence with us. Some speak of a real tangible sense of God's presence with them. Maybe that's what you've experienced. I was watching a testimony this week of a man named Mohan, grew up in a village in India. When he became a Christian, the village chief told him in no uncertain terms, you're to leave the church, you're not to stay in this village, and shamed him and insulted him. They wrecked his house, they destroyed his house, and they forbade him from farming on his own farm. This is what he said, speaking of him and his family. It's remarkable words. Mohan said, we didn't feel lonely. God has drawn us close to him. Just like verse 14, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So some will have a real tangible sense of God's presence with them as they suffer in this way. Others will suffer insults without that same tangible sense of God's presence. But Peter reassures us, whether we feel it or not, God is with us through these trials, blessing us with his presence and care. You think of a young child in hospital for an operation, and her parents stay with her through the night, right at her bedside. She isn't always aware that they're there. But the reality is they are as close as it is possible to be. And likewise, when we suffer for Christ, God does not abandon us, but he is with us in the closest possible sense, his Spirit resting on us, whether we feel it or not. So the experience of suffering for Christ brings with it reassurance that we're on the road to glory. It brings with it the blessing of God's presence. And then thirdly, it brings with it great honor. Verse 15 and 16. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. But if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Well, first off, verse 15, Peter says, just hold on for a moment, because if we're experiencing insults and accusations, we just need to sit down and ask ourselves a difficult question first. We need to ask ourselves, well, am I indeed suffering for Christ? Am I suffering because I'm a Christian? Is that the reason why I'm being insulted? Am I indeed being falsely accused? Or am I getting this in the neck because there's something to these accusations? You know, is this coming my way because actually I've annoyed someone unnecessarily or I've done something stupid or something evil? And I think this just shows that Peter knows our human hearts, how quick we are to assume that we must be in the right and that we must be victims of injustice. I remember a Christian lad who joined a sports team, and he was really open about his Christian faith, which was brilliant. But at the same time, he was really quite belligerent and rude to his teammates, unnecessarily. And unexpected, quite expectedly, he got insults for that, which he assumed must have been, well, because I'm a Christian. And Peter just says, no. Yeah, there's no honor if we're getting it in the neck for being a bad employee or a rude or inconsiderate neighbor or worse. So we need to just to, when we face insults, we just got to, well, we've got to ask each other, don't we? What is happening to me? Am I being oversensitive? Is my boss being reasonable? Is there something to these accusations? We need each other in that sense. There's no honor in getting what you deserve. But, verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. When someone insults you because you're a Christian, their aim is to shame you, to make you feel ashamed. And the temptation in that moment is to feel ashamed, to blush, to wish that the ground would just open up and swallow us whole. because we feel the indignity. Peter says, when that happens, don't be ashamed. Because what you are, the way you're being treated is in fact a great, great honor. You're being closely aligned with the Lord Jesus and bearing his name. And that is an enormous privilege. I think Peter is speaking from his own experience here. He's known both of those experiences. You'll remember on the night of Jesus' trial in the high priest's courtyard, he's accused of being a follower of Jesus, and he's deeply ashamed by that. But not long after, in Acts chapter 5, he's once again hauled before the high priest, ordered not to speak of Jesus, and flogged. How does he respond this time? Well, Acts chapter 5 tells us that he and the other apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. In other words, Peter came to realize that being slandered for being a Christian was nothing to be ashamed of, but a great, great honor to be so closely aligned to the Lord Jesus, to participate in his sufferings, to be known as a Christian, and to bear his name. Some will accuse us of being Christians and throw that label at us as if it's an insult. Peter says, pick it off the ground, wear it, it is a badge of honor. So the three privileges and blessings that come with suffering for Jesus. But as we close, I think it's just interesting. You know, I think if I were to tell you that God was offering you an experience that would A, reassure you beyond doubt that you're on the road to glory, B, give you a deep sense of God's presence with you, and C, give you great honor as an aligning you closely with Jesus, making you worthy of his name. If I said that God was giving you, offering you an experience with it, which would bring those three blessings with us, I think we'd say, give it to me. I want this. We'd bite his hand off for it. If he were to turn to us and say, well, no, actually, you can't have it, we would say, why not? These are really good blessings. And Peter says, well, these are the blessings and privileges that come with suffering for Christ, being insulted for Christ, blessings that we can even rejoice in. And I think just reflecting personally, I think it's just so key that we see this. That when my expectations are straight and I realize that following Jesus will mean insults and being ostracized and so on, how do I view that future? Well, I don't know about you, but for me, I see the pain, I see the suffering, I see the difficulty, I see it all the sadness of it. But Peter wants to give us a fuller picture of suffering for Christ. And so he sets before us these positive outcomes of suffering. So that as we think ahead with right expectations, we're not filled with dread. And so that if it's our present experience, well, we may even be able to rejoice in it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and loving Father who wants us to keep going as Christians and stand fast in your grace. We thank you that you give us realistic expectations of what it's going to look like to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want to sustain us in that. And so you speak of these wonderful blessings. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be those who keep going, even when insulted, even when opposed and ostracized. Help us to keep going so that we might honor the Lord Jesus who has saved us. We pray this in his name. Amen.